Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Would you please stand with me? We want to dismiss our children to their classes. Brother and Sister Vilwalk's class will be up here this morning. I'd like to turn your attention to 2 Timothy. 3:3 At verse number 12, Paul is talking to a young preacher. In verse number 12, he says, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." Peter said, "Think it not strange that these fiery trials come, you know. But one day we're going to be able to celebrate because of those trials that we have gotten victory over." Verse 13, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." So what do you do? "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." So it's going to get worse and worse. It's going to get darker and darker. So what do? Continue. Keep living for God the way you've always lived for God. God's going to take care of us. God's going to protect us. I mean, where else could we go? What else could we do? You know, we can't defend ourselves against some of the things that are happening in this world today. And then 1 Peter, the 2nd chapter, familiar scripture also. Verse number 9. This is, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." So every one of us were called out of a dark world into a world of light, that we would shine unto others who are still in darkness. Lord, we ask your blessing and touch, especially your anointing upon the word of God this morning, Lord, that it would resonate not only in our minds, but it would travel down to our hearts, that God would become a part of us, Lord, because knowledge is power. And we ask your praise, your anointing in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. This world is getting darker and more evil every day. I only have one source of information, and that is in the mornings I'll tune into a little podcast of what's going on in the world. And I'm getting to the point where I don't even want to look at that anymore because it's all doom and gloom. Yet none of what is happening in this world is a shock to God. None of what's happening in the Middle East, none of the things that have recently happened in Paris or what happened in New York, God isn't surprised by that because he's already known when it was going to happen, what it was going to be. And even at the time God spake the world into existence, he knew what it would become. And yet he valued his relationship with his church, with you and I, so much that he has allowed people to make their own choices as to what they do and how they live. And that somehow we, the church, could influence others to make the right choices based on our life, our example to them. Peter said it on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2:40. He said, "And with many other words did he testify, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation," or this perverse and warped generation. So God is saying, yes, you can save yourself. You can protect yourself from this warped and perverse generation that you never know who's going to take a gun and shoot or blow themselves up. It just doesn't even seem conceivable that these things could happen in a modern-day world, and yet it does. Now, if you turn to Genesis, the first chapter, Verse number one, it says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. So the first thing that God ever created was light, and he's saying that we're the light of the world. And God saw the light and that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. And then verse number 14, it says, and God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons, and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. And he made the stars also. So from the very beginning, God always used word pictures for better understanding. He uses illustrations and parables in order to take subjects that perhaps we wouldn't understand, except he applies something that is just normal, ordinary situations in our life. The first word picture was in Genesis 1 and 4, and God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. We are the light of the world. And within four verses of the entire Bible, God has us being separated from the darkness. So the first thing he did was to separate the light from the darkness, and the last thing that he is going to do is separate the light from the darkness. He has separated us to be a light unto a dark world. That is our greatest privilege. That is our responsibility to the rest of the world to say, hey, you know what? There's something better. There is light in this world. There is hope for everyone. In verse 16, it says, God made two lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. Again, metaphors, shadows, and types of what God was going to do even in the year 2015. The two lights that rule the earth are the sun and the moon. The moon has no real source of light. It is just a reflection of the light that comes from the sun. It is the shadow of Jesus being the great light of this world, and the church, that's us, are the lesser light, and we are to give the light in the night, or when the world gets dark enough, we're going to shine even brighter. We too have no real source of light. We really have no power. We have nothing that is going to attract anybody to us. But I'll tell you what, when people walk in to a Spirit-filled church service, we are just a reflection of the greatness of our God. We are the reflection of Jesus Christ. There are some who don't want a part of that because their deeds are dark and they don't want light shed on their darkness. If you go to John, the third chapter, and verse number 16, probably the most quoted scripture in the Bible, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten, or son that had a beginning, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now, none of that exempts us from, you need to be born of the water and born of the Spirit. You know? You can't say, well, none of that other stuff about, you know, except you're born of the water and the Spirit has any kind of, responsibility to me because we've got this scripture. Verse 17 says, for God sent his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son or flesh of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Now, we're inviting people all of the time, but you know what? What is going on in their mind is generally, I can't go there while I'm involved in, you see? So, being light to darkness, but men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Maybe that's why it took me so long to come to church. Perhaps that's why you hesitated. Proverbs 4:18 says this, but the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. And the word perfect means the day of the resurrection. So the path of the just is going to be shining more and more. We're going to get brighter and brighter. There are going to be demonstrations of God's power and spirit in this world just before the rapture of the church. A lot of us have some form of night light in our house, so we just don't stumble around, you know? And I'm generally up at like 5:30 in the morning, and the reason I am is because I have to make coffee for my wife. Now, what she says is that's normal, that every man does that. Is that true? I mean, I'm just taking her word for it. But when I get up at 5:00 in the morning, it's still dark outside. And of course, I don't want to turn the light on in order to disturb her sleep, you see. So what I have done is I've installed in our armoire that opens up and is still black in our bedroom, I've installed a little light that when I open the doors, the light goes on so I can get to my sock drawer, you know, and pick out the right color socks for the particular day that I have. And so that's a good thing, you see. And many of us have night lights within our house so we just don't stumble in the middle of the night. And that's a good thing. So if you'll turn to John, the 11th chapter. And verse number 9, it says, and Jesus answered, there are not 12 hours in the day. If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth because there is no light in him. And so what God is saying is, you know what, there's a whole lot of people who will stumble in the night because there isn't any light for them. A lot of us have been stumbling through life before finally there was a night light for us. Amen. This is the time of the year when there's more darkness than any other time of the year. The days have gotten shorter and shorter, and it's not my favorite time of the year because there is less light. And God made the moon to give reflective light in the darkness. The moon is the world's night light. You know, isn't that nice of God to give us a night light? So when we walk out, if you were out in the woods someplace where there weren't lights from the city, there is a night light that God has placed up in the heavens in order for us not to walk into a tree. And we too are the night light, if you will, of this world, so people don't stumble and fall, so people don't fall into a ditch, so people don't fall into sin. God's saying, we got to have some night lights here. Now, God uses this metaphor of comparison of the church and the moon is in orbit with the earth, yet it is separated from the earth by 250,000 miles. Attached, so to speak, but not a part of the world, because what happens is the moon revolves with the world and pulled by the world, but also pulled by the sun. Now this is similar to our situation where we're not attached, but we're pulled by and we're influenced by. The church is in this world, but not of this world, pulled by the world system, but also pulled by the Son or the Lord Jesus Christ. So we have two pulling. There's a earth pulling, and then there's a Son pulling, or Jesus Christ. The rapture will simply be a release of earth's gravity, and then we will be pulled by the Son up to meet him, you see. So there's this constant pulling because we're that example or metaphor of the moon, and we're stuck between two worlds, if you will, the earth and the sun. And we got to decide, where are we going to go? Which pull are we going to allow to take hold of us? Think about it. The moon always presents the same face. You know, if you've got a telescope and you look at the moon, you're going to see the same thing every night. Every time there's a full moon, it's going to look exactly the same. The face of the moon doesn't change based on the seasons or even circumstances at that time of the year. And the face of the church shouldn't change. Doesn't matter if it's the season. It doesn't matter of circumstances. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we are the body of Christ. Therefore, we shouldn't change based on the seasons or circumstances or what's going on in this world. Well, there is a dark side of the moon that the earth never sees. They tell us there's this dark side. In fact, they've sent, satellites up to take pictures of the other side of the moon. They haven't really given us a real good understanding. The moon has a great influence on the earth. And the dark side of the moon never is seen, and we don't display what we were, but what we are. Every one of us has a dark side of our life, but you know what? Let's just leave that as the dark side, and let's show the face that reflects the glory of God, you see. So the moon has this influence on the earth. And what God is saying is, I want you to have an influence, a drawing influence on everyone that is in the earth. If we're doing this thing right, the church is going to draw people to it. They're going to want to be a part of us because there's something exciting about what's going on in the church, a reflection of the Lord Jesus Christ that they're not seeing in the world. Perhaps even on people of the earth, more babies are born under a full moon than any other time of the year. And that's statistic. It's not just hearsay. Those of you that are awake, this is good preaching. Now, when the church gives the most light to the world, when we're full, when we're really reflective, there are more spiritual babies born than when we're not. You know, again, shadow and type of what's going on in the natural. God started this whole thing out with comparing the moon and the sun and separating the light from the darkness. In ancient times, doctors thought that the full moon caused people to act really strange. Thus, we were labeled loonies or lunatics, derived from the word lunar or moon. And Peter said, for these are not drunken as you suppose. You know, we're acting a little different because we have a drawing, you know, based on where the moon is. And the greatest influence the moon has on the earth, remember, we are a metaphor or an example of the moon. The moon influences the ocean tide, even Lake Michigan, because it's such a big body of water. And it is shadow and type of the masses of people. If you look in Revelation, people are parallel to a sea or lots of water. When the moon passes over the earth, it pulls the water towards her, causing the water to rise several feet in darkness. church, whether we understand it or not, we have a great pulling influence on this entire world based on what's going on in this church. And when we have great services in this church, I believe there's a greater pulling of people into the light than ever before. If we're just going through the motion, if it's just mediocre church, I'll tell you what, there's not going to be the same pulling as a full moon or a full reflection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The darker the night, the greater the light. Would you turn to 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter? First Corinthians, the 15th chapter, is a resurrection chapter. It's the hope chapter, you know. Verse 51 says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." And it goes on to say that this corruptible body has to put on incorruption, and we're going to put on a glorious body after the similitude of Jesus' glorious body. And of course, Jesus defeated the greatest enemy we have, and that's death. But in verse number 41, it says this: "There is one glory of the sun and another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars, for one star differeth from another star in glory." So there is a glory of the sun which is beyond our imagination. We can know a whole lot about the moon because it is approachable, but we have never been so foolish to think, let's send a rocket to the sun. You know, I'd like to see somebody stand on the sun. Well, that is not going to happen because we cannot get close to the sun because it would destroy us. And in fact, we could never see all of the power of God in these bodies because I believe we would blow apart because there's so much power in our God. But as there is electricity going to a transformer out on the pole, which takes that electricity in its raw, powerful state and then reduces it to something that can be used, so Jesus Christ is a transforming power of God that is enabling us to understand who God really is. Not in full power, but in a demonstration of the love and the grace and the kindness of our God. The sun has energy within itself. The center of our solar system is the sun, and Jesus is the center of everything that we do in the church, filled with raw power that could never be harnessed. I'm talking about the sun. From its molten gaseous surface spewing towering rockets of plasma that they have recorded. The explosions are happening all the time on the sun because of its power, launched into space at speeds of over 5 million miles per hour. We can't even fathom how great that is. It is estimated that a single second of the sun's power, if it could be harnessed, could surpass all of the energy needs that the world needs for 100 years, if we could just tap into the power of the sun. What if we could just tap into the power of the Lord Jesus Christ? I mean, if we were really reflective of the power of the sun, we could walk into hospitals and people would just say, "Hey, I need to get out of here." If we had really just a little bit of the power of our Lord Jesus Christ. But somehow, we have to be that reflective power. It's just a glimpse of our God and how powerful, how glorious He is. Compare Him with the sun. Compare us with the moon. He's the greater power. We're the lesser power. Amen. He is omnipotent, as it says in Revelation 19 and 6, or all powerful, having absolutely no limits. If you get anything this morning, you need to understand that there is no limit on the Son. There is such a power there that we need to reflect that power so He gets the glory, not we get the glory. Amen. Now, as it said in 1 Corinthians 15 and 41, the glory of the sun is not the glory of the moon. God help us if we ever get to the place where we start to take the glory of God, you know. It said that when Saul was little in his own sight, then God promoted him. But when you get to the place where, hey, I'm somebody, get ready to sit on the bench. The moon has no light of its own. The moon's glory is not one of projection. It is one of reflection, you know. So we just don't have it, you see. And as the church is a reflection of the Son of God, if we try to project our light, we have nothing, and services won't go. There won't be any miracles. There won't be a demonstration of God's Spirit. Because we have to be a reflective, not a projective power within the church. And sometimes people get that all messed up. If we do this and if we do that and if we create this. No, no. You are just a reflector. You are not a projector. 2 Corinthians 3 and 18 in the New International Version says this. And we, who with unveiled faces are all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into His likeness with every increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is that Spirit. So we have a reflective face. You know, I've heard testimonies of people who have come out of great services in church and walked into a restaurant or walked into a store, and people said, where have you been? There's something about your face that is so reflective of where we've been, who we have been in contact. And Moses is that perfect example. He came down from Mount Sinai, and he spent so much time with God that the people couldn't even look at him. They said, put a veil on. We don't want that. He was just the greatest of all of the moons, if you will, because he was reflecting the glory of God. I have a watch that I don't know what they put in it, but I can be in the sunlight during the day and walk into a dark room, and I can't believe how it glows. You know, I mean, actually, I could see certain things based on the illumination of the dials on my watch. But if I spend a lot of time in the darkness and then try it, it just doesn't work. And sometimes we wonder, well, how come I'm not effective? You haven't spent enough time in the presence of the Son in order to really illuminate what you're supposed to illuminate. Glory to God. Is church important? Yes, it is. Is the sun important to the moon? Yes, it is. If the sun hides itself, I'll tell you what, the moon might as well just be out of a job. Glory to God. There are certain places in this world that would not be conducive to starting a church. I'm sorry. Just be hard to start a church there. You go to Bangkok, hard to start a church. Tijuana, Rio de Janeiro, Las Vegas. Go in those places where evil abounds, and it would be very difficult in order to start a church there. We were with the Grandquist in Malta some years ago, and he had a presentation. And when he was called to start a church in San Francisco, they said, don't bother. You'll never get a church started out there because of the attitudes and prevailing atmosphere. And he went anyway, and he said, it has been one of the most difficult places in order to start a church. Based on the climate there. And there are certain places that sin abounds more than other places, and it's harder to reflect the glory of God there. we, for years, have been creating an influence in this area, in Racine, southeastern Wisconsin, and I'm telling you, all those years have had an effect on what happens in this church. Now, in Paul's day, that city was Corinth. Corinth was corrupt. Corinth was involved in sensual sins and all kinds of wrong things, and he wrote two letters to that church on how they're supposed to live. Yet Paul wrote to them that they were a reflection of God's great light to a very dark world in Corinth. That we can make a difference regardless of what's going on around. It doesn't matter how far your family is gone. If your light is great, you're going to see a reflection and things are going to change. One of the shortest poems that I've ever read is three words. Purity is obscurity. In other words, you're never going to have purity or you can't have things going well for you if you don't have purity. When convictions are for sale, purity is obscurity. When children parent their parents, that's what I want. You know, I deserve it. Everybody else is doing it. When that happens, then purity is obscurity. When money is more meaningful than God, purity is obscurity. I don't have to tell you that the nighttime is happening in this world. Everybody right now is trying to figure out how in the world can we protect ourselves against all of these radicals, all against these people who are just incest against freedom and any other religion. So what is the answer for this darkened world? Not better legislation. It won't be this election, folks. And we're going to spend millions and millions of dollars in order to get the word out that somebody thinks that they are the answer. It's not elections. It's not legislation. It's not more enforcement of present laws. It's not martial law in every city. Not more agreements with those who have differing lifestyles. Not more compromise so we can get along. Let's just shake our hands and we won't have war. Peace, peace, at any cost? I don't think so. I think we have to rise up and make sure that we're doing the right thing. The world needs more light. That's it. That's it. We just need more light. The first thing God did when he created the world was to give it light. Because he knew without light, nothing else was. There's no plants that'll be. And if you don't have any plants, you're not going to have any animals, you know? It just goes on and on, light first. And if we're reflecting Jesus in our life, we may not have the words, we may not have anything else going for us, but there is a reflection. What church do you go to? You're the moon. You're the reflection. Hallelujah. First thing he did, separated light from the darkness, and that is the challenge of the church today in order to be the pure light of the world. Not diffused, not a weak light. Is that a light or isn't it? But something that is really, really. This is the light that I have in my my armoire, so I can see my socks in the morning, you know. And so there's enough light in here that it's not going to go on. But when it gets dark, and when it really gets dark, this thing starts to emit light that is almost light shattering, because it's meant to really glory in the darkness. And we may not make a whole lot of difference because we sit next to each other and we all have light. But I'll tell you, put you or me in a dark situation, wherever it is, and then all of a sudden, there is a light that is bright. And if we were to turn out all of the lights in this place, I'll tell you what, there wouldn't be any question. Is that bright? You know it's bright because it was dark. And every one of us has a responsibility to reflect that. We're not just here for our own pleasure. We're here for the pleasure of God. You know what? The gospel does not belong to us. It's given to us to give to somebody else, you see. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Would you turn to 1 or 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter? Second Corinthians 4 and verse number 6. It says, "For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." So the God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has now shined in our face, and he is commanding us, not asking, not making a request, but he has commanded us, now that you have been in full light, you need to shine to somebody else who has had no light. If you turn to 2 Peter, the 1st chapter, and verse number 19. It says, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts." We need to take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. Folks, you know, I've been around here for 69 years, and those years have never produced the evil and the darkness of things that are going on in this world. They have a G20 summit at the end of the month, and all of the leaders of all of the world are getting together to say, how are we going to come against this darkness, this evil, the terrorists that are approaching every civilization on the face of the earth? And I have the answer, and you have the answer. Light, light. What if they all got on their knees for the 10 days that they got together and started asking God? Hallelujah. Ephesians 5. And verse number 8. "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." Every one of us were darkness, but now we're light, and we need to walk as the light. You know what? People should be effective when we walk into the room because there is a light. I know some of them have a hard time looking at us because of the light, but I'll tell you what, we do make a difference, and that was God's plan from the very first chapter in the book of Genesis. At the beginning, God spake and light came into the world, but today God's light shines through each of us to radiate light to this very dark world. And Paul said, as we allow the Spirit of the Lord to work within us, we are become more like him, or the light of the world. Let's look at what happens if we don't let our light shine. If you turn back to 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, and verse number 3, it says, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. So God's saying, we're the light of this glorious gospel. Hallelujah. We are letting a light from another world shine through us. It's basically what it is. A little girl was coming home from Sunday school and was a little confused, asked mom, you know, the teacher said that God is so big that he can handle the world in his hand. Is that true? Mom says, yes. And then she said, and the teacher said that God lives inside of us. Is that true? And she said, yes. Well, Mom, if he's that big, shouldn't he show through us? If he's that big, then no matter what the problem is, you know, people have a tendency to want to tell us their problems all the time. And we have the answer. And shame on me if I don't give them the answer, if I don't direct them to a place. Amen. Some of the neatest places in America are on the coasts, and there are lighthouses, and they're always directing someone to safety. And they make these beautiful towers and ornate buildings in order to be a lighthouse, because it's there not to look pretty. It's not there just to revolve itself in song service. It's there to save somebody. We're the channel and the means of delivery. We are the reflectors of God's light. We are the burning bush, yet it's not consumed. And what's going to happen in these end times, church? And I believe in a short period in this church alone is that we are going to be the miracle, like the burning bush that's on fire and it's not consumed. And Moses walked up to see what was going on with this bush. And then he heard the voice of God. If we can get them here because somebody was healed of cancer, or someone has been raised from the dead, or someone had a horrible marriage and God put it together, or somebody had another problem that was taken care of financially, then what happens is people are going to walk over to the burning bush and see what's going on there. The light of heaven has shined upon the church, and now they're going to hear the voice of God saying, you too could come out of darkness into my glorious light. On September 27th, just a little over a month ago, at 8:57, we had a lunar eclipse. I don't stay up that late, so I didn't see it. The reason for the eclipse is that the earth passed between the moon and the sun, its source. So when the earth gets between the sun and the moon light goes out. I'm telling you, this stuff will preach. Church, let it not be said that the world got in between us and the Son of God. Because if the earth, this world, gets in between us and the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, there will be no light that will shine. We won't have a witness. There won't be a power of God upon us. That the cares of life come between us and God, that the world causes us to lose our light because we're more directed, more focused on the things that we can get or the things that we can do or the pleasures of this world. And then all of a sudden we're wondering, where did our witness go? Where did the light go? Where did the joy that we really had in living for God go? When I was a teenager, our family went to a denominational church. And at the end of every service, my pastor, who was he was a great guy, but he just didn't have truth. My pastor gave me my first car for a dollar. Now, you teenagers in here, don't come to me after service. Amen. I'll give you something more important. But he would end every service with a scripture. Every service. I knew when the service was going to be over because he would quote this scripture. And before this morning, I never really knew where the scripture was. But it's found in Numbers 6 and 25, and it says, "The Lord..." "The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace." At the end of this service, I hope that the Lord make his face shine upon us and give us grace. So this morning, let the Lord make his face shine upon each of us. After all, we're the nightlights of this world. And if we don't shine, how are the lost going to find salvation? But they'll just stumble and keep stumbling in this world. God forbid, let us be a light, the nightlight. Amen. Would you stand with me, please? I remember sitting in my office in 1985, and God dropped a thought in my mind. I had a nice business, it seemed, and things were going well. But I remember him saying, "If you weren't here tomorrow, somebody else's name would be on the door. But the only thing that will last are the things that you'll do for me." And I thought, at the end of my life, will I have been profitable for the Lord Jesus Christ? I think the wrong concept that the church has today is I'm just going to be faithful, but I'm not going to produce. When the main function of the church is to produce, and then when we produce, faithfulness is never going to be a problem. Finance is never going to be a problem. Marriage is never going to be a problem. When we're faithful, God will give us more than we can spend. I really believe it. I believe the blessings of God are going to be flowing like it was for the children of Israel. A land flowing with milk and honey. You're going to be satisfied even if you don't have a lot. But it's about producing something. And in that second chapter, first and second chapter, when God finished creation after every day, he said it was good. But he also said, "And they shall produce after its own kind. The birds after their own kind, the animals after their own kind, the plants after their own kind." But what about the church? The church has to produce after their own kind. And since I've been born of the water and born of the Spirit, I have to produce someone that is born of the water and born of the Spirit. Or I'm not functioning the way God wants us to function. We have the seed, It's just a matter of planting it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Would you come? Would you come?